Bismillah, alhamdulillah. You're listening to the all-new, brand-new Islam Tomorrow, broadcasting almost live all the way from the fabulous city of downtown Las Cruces, New Mexico. And we're here in the masjid with the brothers, and it's looking good. This is after the Asr Salat, and there's so many sitting here. You guys don't have a job or what? Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us as Muslims. Alhamdulillah, Alladhi ja'alana muslimin. We thank Him, alhamdulillah, and we praise Him, alhamdulillah, and we extol His greatness and His glory, subhanallah, that He is the one, in fact, who created all of us and created everything. And we thank Him so much. To be a Muslim, alhamdulillah, is actually, this is something from Na'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is, in English, a great favor or reward. But in English, you can't say nama. You don't have it. Because there's even one place in the next life that's reserved for very special people. And it's called the Jannah or the garden. It's so beautiful. Na'im. And you can't say that in English. Come on. So this is a big nama that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us to be a Muslim. And it's also amana. What is amana? It's like a trust. When somebody leaves something with you and they expect you to take care of it and to do something with it. Islam for us is na'im. And it's also amana. Something good, but also responsibility. Unfortunately, in the last few months, we've seen a lot of tragic events. But I don't think I heard about anything more tragic than what I heard today. I think the worst tragedy I've heard about in all these months is the one I heard about today. When my dear friend Khalid was riding with me and we were coming from the airport, and he shared with me what somebody told him, somebody born in a Muslim country, somebody maybe has some difficulties now, but look what he said. He said, this is not a good time to be a Muslim. He said, it's a bad time to be a Muslim. And I looked at Khalid and I said, you know, this is the best time to be a Muslim. This is the best time to be a Muslim. This is a bad time to be a Kafir. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الدنيا سجن ومؤمن وجنة الكفر. Hadith Sahih. Our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he told us in a good hadith, a verified tradition, narration from him, that this entire material world is nothing more than a prison to the one who really believes in Allah. But this same material world is the paradise, the temporary paradise, the only paradise for those who disbelieve and for those who don't want to do what Allah wants them to do. This is trying to give meaning of a hadith. I try to give meanings because I think if I just give you the words, we're going to miss the shot. So to get the goal, get the target lined up better, give you the meaning. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر يأكل خير أو يسموت. You know this hadith since you were small, right? How do you translate it to English? Well, I don't. I translate it to Texas language. I'm from Texas, what can I tell you? And the way that comes out in Texas language is, let the one who believes in Allah and the last day either say something good or shut up. I thought you had given the meaning. Yes, Luke. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had such a beautiful way. I don't want to attribute that to him. The way that I translated it is attributing that to myself, because I'm trying to just understand something. And that is the value of what he said. Some of the discussion that we had on the trip here from El Paso today. we were discussing the seerah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We were mentioning about the life and the background of our Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him. And one of the things we were talking about is his character, his impeccable character, his wonderful way with people. It was so impressive. People still write books about it today, non-Muslim people. Still, even in the events that are happening, we know people are out here telling lies. But for those who really know the truth, they're impressed. And they write good things about what he did. One of the companions, Sahabi, of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Muhammad, peace be upon him, who actually was a young boy, Shabab, a young boy who was serving him, taking care of him, and trying to provide for our Prophet, peace be upon him. His name was Anas. And what Anas said was, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, in all the years, like 10 years or more, that he was serving the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said he never one time blamed me for anything. Never blamed him. Can you imagine this? I'm asking myself, can I go through one day that I don't blame somebody for something? Ask my wife, she knows. I'm horrible. And I'm looking at this example, this exemplary character of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. And I'm wondering, what would it be like if he was here? What would it be like? I wish he was. I wish we could see him. I wish we could just watch his way. Because it was so impressive that for 1400 years, people have learned about his way, about his mannerism, about his character, and have been so impressed that they considered his message. He was such a good apostle that they considered his epistle. Now that's kind of trying to talk to those who know about the Bible a little bit, but the word epistle means a message. And there are several epistles in the New Testament, and many apostles, those who carried the message of Jesus. And we say a word similar, doesn't have a P in it. It's Rasul, means a messenger, and the Rasala, which is the message. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down Arsala, which is the message, which is the Quran. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that Allah sent me with the Quran and something like it. And his wife said, if you would like to see the Quran walking, look to Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I'm trying to look to Muhammad and trying to understand how much of an impact it must have had. When even when a mighty warrior of the Quraishi tribe, somebody from Bani Hashim, who was so strong and powerful and definitely mean and had a big sword and, you know, could do what he wanted to do. Nobody get in his way. It was later said about him, the Prophet ﷺ said about him later, even the shaitan used to go to the other side of the street when they see him coming. Even the devils would run away from this man. Who is it? Omar, radiallahu anhu, Ibn Khattab. He's the son of Khattab. Means that Omar, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. You know, he entered into the area where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and he was like angry. But when he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he just calmed down, and there was no dialogue. It wasn't like, you have to believe this, you have to believe that, you have to do this, you have to do so and so. And no argument, yeah, but what about this, what about that? He just said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. These are the two bearing witnesses in Islam, to say, I bear witness, an open testimony, that there isn't anything that deserves my love, and my devotion, and my worship, anywhere. Any time. And there sure isn't any God except the only one who deserves my worship and my devotion and my love. And
That's Allah. And He has no partners. And Muhammad is His last and final messenger. So this gives us a little taste of some of the things that we want to be dealing with while we're visiting here. We'll be talking about the things that other people say about Muhammad. We'll be talking about Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We'll be talking about the things that Muslims believe about Muhammad. And we'll also be talking about some very true evidences of prophecy. Prophecy is a part of being a prophet, to prophesy what's going to happen. There are prophets, Anbiya, and there are messengers, Rasul. And sometimes, in the case of like Muhammad, you find that the Nabi, the prophet, is also a messenger, a Rasul. And in this case, he was one of those, like Moses and some of the others before him. So, I think what I want to do is just remind myself and all of us that the value of Islam cannot even be measured in human estimation. You can't even imagine it. You can't measure it. You can't say it's worth this or it's worth 10 times that or 1,000,000 times something. It's unmeasurable. It's such a gift. Many people are born with names Muhammad and Omar and Khalid and Yasin and Sarah and Fatima and Ahmed. But even though they got the name, a lot of times they don't get the gift, the beautiful gift that goes with being a Muslim. There's a word in Arabic, and it doesn't mean gift. I'm talking now about another word, nama, the gift or favor. But I'm going to switch, and I'm talking about the gift itself. The gift itself is hidayah, which is what? We say guidance. Because without it, you can't imagine what it's like. Once, I was visiting in Mesr, in Egypt, in Saidi land, which is kind of like the Egyptian version of Disneyland. Except it's cheaper. Anybody here from Mesr? Any Egyptians? Huh? No? Oh, it's more fun if there are. They laugh a lot harder. But I was on Nahr Nil, which is in Arabic is the Nile River, about which that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the Nahrain, the two rivers, the Jannah and the Paradise, are the Euphrates, or we call it the Euphrates River, and the Nahr Nil. He said these are two rivers of Paradise, the Euphrates and the Ifrat. Ifrat? You call it Ifrat. We call it Euphrates. And the other one is Nile River. And subhanAllah, they both became Muslim. Not the river, but the both sides of the rivers, as you can look now, they're all Muslims. Everybody there. But when you're there by the river and you're looking at the people, you feel it. You really feel Islam. It's nice. And one night, the brothers were talking to me when I first got there, and they said, what is it like when somebody used to be Christian or some other religion, and then you come to Islam? What is that like? Can you tell us? Because it was rather late in life for me. I was 48 years old when I learned about Islam from somebody in Egypt, as a matter of fact. And I thought about it, and I said, well, what would I say? What would be the answer to that? I said, I can't tell you. It's amazing, but I don't know. Can't think. Doesn't come in my mind an answer. So I sat there and I started watching the water, the weird Nil, which is the flowers that go floating by. It's very beautiful. And some people passing by in little boats and big boats. Then all of a sudden it came to me. And the next day I told them, do you remember your question to me? You asked me, what is it like and I couldn't describe it. I want to tell you what it's like not to be a Muslim, not to have Islam, and then to come to Islam. And by watching the river, I know, I understand. I said, can you imagine a boat out in the water, and you're in the boat. It's your boat, okay? You're in it. But you're blindfolded, and it's at night. And you don't have this on the back called duffa, or the rudder on the back of the ship. You don't have that. Can you imagine what that would be like? Because if you're there, you would feel motion. You know you're moving. You know you're going somewhere. You can feel it. You can hear it. But you don't have a clue. And if anybody asks you, you'll say anything. Oh, yes, well, it's because I have such great mental powers. That's why we're moving so quickly. Or if you feel yourself moving to the side, you'll say because of the wind or because of... But you don't know where you are. You don't know where you're going. You don't know anything. Why? You can't see. Totally blind on a black night. And you have no rudder. And then for the sun to come out and somebody to remove this blindfold and to somebody give you the steering wheel of this boat, the duffa of this. This is the challenge. Because now you can see. Now you know. Now you can do something about it. That's the best way I can describe it. I saw their eyes start to fill with water, and I know they understand my meaning. Because this is a gift. This is Nama of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you this name. There is nothing that you would want to trade for this beautiful way of this. Because as the Rasul said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon Muhammad, Adunya Sijnul Mu'min wa Jannatul Kafir. This world, material place, is nothing but a prison to the believer. But it's the only paradise for the kuffar. May Allah save us. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow. We broadcast it almost live from Las Cruces, New Mexico. Visit us on the internet at Islam Tomorrow. ISLAMTOMOROW.com or .net or .org. We bought them all. Until next time, this is your host, Yusuf Estes, wishing the peace, blessings, and guidance of Allah.